You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We are just a few days away from the Oros of Chanukah, and I want to talk about some numerous inyani Chanukah. If you look through this section, you're going to see we're going to have four topics, and it's not going to be one, but usually we build one sugya for the entire evening, from the sugya till the psak, but then I'm just going to talk about four random, unrelated points that I think are four interesting ha'aretz. First of all, to put the entire Yontov of Chanukah in perspective, I think the following Chasam Sofer, the Shas and Shuvas, Yoredeya Simulam Reish Lamed Gimel, which I've mentioned once or twice in the past, but it is so fundamental it deserves to be repeated. The Chasam Sofer says something that at first glance seems wild, but once you get to the Lamed seems relatively patently obvious. And that is, Chasam Sofer says that Chanukah is Mita
Araisa.
Purim is Mita Araisa. Now you'll ask me, how in the world could Chanukah be Midaraisa, Purim Midaraisa? After all, it only happened 1,000 years after the Torah was given. And how can you say it's Midaraisa? Look at the Chasam Sofer. Kfiyas Yom Moed V'Yom Asiyas Neis. When there is a Chazal Stavish Yotiv to commemorate a Neis, it's a Kal V'Chomer Daraisa. So I wrote it out for you. The Kal V'Chomer that he says is Pesach, which is a commemoration of Avdus L'Cheiros. And we have a Pesach for it, Kal V'Chomer, from Misa Mit L'Chaim. Purim is more evident. Purim we were supposed to be killed, and yet we were saved. But he applies that same svara to Chanukah also, that there is what I can perhaps religious Misa that was to occur, and we had a Chiyus in a spiritual kind of way. And that would be more than merely Avdus L'Cheiros. So therefore, if you have to commemorate Avdus L'Cheiros with a Zeche, certainly you have to commemorate Misa L'Chaim with a Zeche. Therefore, we know that a Kal V'Chomer is not in Doraisa, well, usually it's not in Doraisa, and therefore, on a Doraisa level, there's a mitzvah to commemorate Chanukah and Purim. Well, Fina Nias Taiti L'Fisa, Yom Purim V'Mei Chanukah Doraisa Hein. Ah, but here he explains what's obviously bothering him. Which we have to commemorate something, to commemorate the Nes of Purim or Chanukah is Doraisa. Ach ma'am asos bahem. But how to celebrate it, how to commemorate it, Ibn Shlok Manos, Olahad Kneros, Lassa Zeyr Acher. That, of course, is the Rabbanan. Chazal decided how we should commemorate this incredible Yeshua. That decision that they made to do this or that or A or B or C is, of course, only the Rabbanan. And therefore, Veha Over, says the Chasam Sofer, Ve'enol Zeshum Zeyflu Mechanical Purim, Over Amitzes Hasei Daraisa. If a person goes to the entire Chanukah, the entire Purim, without any Zeker at all, he's violated mitzvahs to say midaraisa. However, if you would do anything, achaose shum zeker yiyamashi yalkol panam biyamecha mimei Chanukah, v'afil lohayim b'kneiros, lo shalach manos b'purim kandama, eno ela avari midaraman. Let's say Chanukah would come and you would spin the dreidel every night of Chanukah. You spin the dreidel to remember that they tried to, you know, make us forget our learning, and we play dreidel to hide from the Romans when they tried to oppress us, and they made their zeres against learning Torah. And every night you spun the dreidel. Not every night, one night in Chanukah you spun the dreidel. So you fill the midrash of Zecher with ice, and albeit midrabban, you were a Navarian midrabban for not fulfilling the takanos of halachic mitzvahs. Concludes the Chasam Sofer. The Ashur Kriyas Halal Megillah. And the Kal V'Chomer Doraisa.
Wow!
In a few days, what is it, Monday morning, you can say Halal? Chasam Sofer says that Halal might be a Halal Midoraisa. Mitzvahs are say Doraisa, say Halal. How could it possibly be? Kriyas HaMegillah might be Doraisa, why? Efshe Kriyas Halal Megillah have a Kal V'Chomer Doraisa Lomra Shira. Kamosha Tziva B'Pesach L'Sarv B'Siyas Tzai B'Pesach. Just like, but it's found the same line of logic that he said with the Kal V'Chomer earlier. If Mimavas Lachayim Chayim Lamashira, there's a specific, the Torah articulates a requirement to say Shira B'Peh, that is the mitzvah of Sipur, specifically a Shira B'Peh. So, not a Shira, but a Sipur B'Peh. So, if the Sipur B'Peh is required deraisa for, you know, for Avdus L'Cheiros and Pesach, Kal V'Chomer for the Chayim, the Misa L'Chayim that Purim and Chanukah represent, there should be a requirement to have that Hodam B'Peh, which would be, well, in Purim's case, the Kriyas HaMegillah, and in Chanukah's case, the Kriyas HaHalal. That is an incredible Chasam Sofer. I think if we go into Chanukah with this attitude, of the yesod of the hodah that we have to have and the power of the hodah. That's the daraisa dikta. How hodah that we have to have. I think our Hanukkah will be an elevated type of yontif with this chasim song. Okay, that's as far as introduction to Yom Hanukkah. Now let's get into some of the details of the halakhas. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shehakol Nihyeh V'Kara. What I want to talk about is a halakha of Hanukkah that applies before Hanukkah. It's not Hanukkah, so what is there to talk about? This is the mitzvah of Muktzah L'mitzvasa. We're learning how to use Muktzah on Sunday mornings, and everything we learn about Muktzah on Sunday morning has to do with Muktzah on Shabbos. Muktzah L'mitzvasa is a category that is unrelated to Shabbos. It relates to, for example, if you hang a pomegranate because they're beautiful in your sukkah, so on the third day of Chol HaMoed, on a Tuesday morning, that pomegranate is also to eat. Why? Because it's Muktzah. We're not talking about Muktzah v'negiyah, I'm sorry, v'tiltah, we're talking about Muktzah to consume it, because it's dedicated to Mitzvah. Says the Beis Yosef, I'm going to get into the lamdos with some nafkaminas of the question that we'll raise right now. The question that we're going to raise right now is, if somebody pours oil, into his menorah, or somebody has candles in their menorah, with the intent that, of course, these candles are for Hadlokas Ner Mitzvah Hanukkah. There's leftover oil, so that oil was dedicated for the mitzvah of Hanukkah, and therefore, if there's leftover, it should be usher to consume for any purpose of Chol. In the same way that you can't eat your pomegranate during Chol HaMoed, because you're consuming, taking away a piece of the mitzvah of Sukkot, and you can't consume and take away mitzvah of Sukkot, so too, if you have something that was dedicated for the mitzvah of Chanukah, you should not be able to take it away and use it up for anything other than its mitzvah. So let's learn a little bit of the law. Says the Beis Yosef. If you have leftover on the first night of Chanukah, most of all of the Malach Lashon, you are allowed to use that same wick and the leftover oil on the second night. So it was dedicated for the purpose of Hanukkah. Rav Tomar asks the Beis Yosef, "Stira in the truth." Barei Kasa, Rabbi Mitzvah Tafreshayim Beis. The halacha is Im Nasan Bo Yoser Yachol Lachabosa Lachas Shabbos Zazman. Vechin Yachol Shtamish Laor Lachas Zazman. Oh wow! After the half hour after the Tzitzit Kolchom pass, are you allowed to use? Right, we say Haner Salo Kodesh Emelu Roshus Shtamish From Elu Rosam Lavad. That's only the first half hour. After the first half hour, you did a mitzvah, you could use that. You could use that, like, you could use it through your boss. What?
There's a principle also of Nasa Mitzvah. I don't know if it applies here at all. But usually you say Nasa Mitzvah after the mitzvah was done already.
So that will have to figure out why we don't say that here. But we'll end up point covering it, even if we don't want to defend it. We'll see what the answer is. So the Beis Yosef asks the Stira. He says, after you, the Tur Paschim, and after the half hour passes, you're permitted, lechatchila, to use the light. If you're permitted to use the light, so how can you tell me, and you're allowed to put out the fire, you're allowed to use the light, so how can you tell me that the oil was hooked to the mitzvah? You tell me the oil is hooked to the mitzvah, you're not allowed to do anything else with it. And then somewhere else, the Tur says, you are allowed to do other things, you're allowed to use it for profane. For non-sacred activities, to read your Harry Potter novel, to count your money after the half hour. So how can you say there's a stira? Asks the Beis Yosef. On one hand, you're telling me that it took some mitzvah, so it can't be used for anything else. On the other hand, after half an hour, you're allowed to put it out, you're allowed to read your, do whatever you want with this life. I thought it's dedicated to mitzvah. So the Beis Yosef is going to say two answers to the stira. And we're going to look at the Shulchan Aruch in a few minutes carefully, and you're going to see which one he paskins like. There's going to be an afkamina in the halacha between the two following answers to this theory. So the first answer that he says, that the Beis Yosef suggests, he found in the Kasa B'Shem Mahari Abuhav, Shesh L'Chalik B'Nim. You could be mechalik between the two cases, where it's asur to use as opposed to mutar to use the remaining oil. Lo hikseu elu l'shuus man hadlaka yochal acharchal is tapik. If when you poured that oil in, you had in mind only to be makseh it, whatever you need, the half hour that you need, dina, That's what your maximum mitzvah is. But everything else, you have the right, you retain the right to use for yourself. What's the concept of muktzah, both in Hilchot Shabbos and in this regard? The concept of muktzah is that you're setting something aside. Shabbos, you're setting it aside for non-Shabbos use, so you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. Here, you're dedicating something for mitzvah use. But if you're, in your mind, it's a mental designation. If in your mind you designate something l'mitzvasa, only for the first half hour, that means you're only dedicating l'mitzvah part of that oil, not the rest of it.
There's an element of greater on there, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yeah. But there's only drama. So we're more quick to do the prayer. Aval kishenasen Hashem b'ner mistam. But if you just poured oil without any specific intent, oh, I'm only dedicating the first half hour of oil to the mitzvah. You're just pouring an oil mistam. I was hooked to the mitzvah mechanica. Everything that you pour was the shame mitzvah mechanica. Mitzvah lasos so zantik, and you're gonna have to. He's referring to, you're going to have to burn it after Hanukkah is over, because it's dedicated to the mitzvah, you're not allowed to use it for your personal benefit. So that's how the Maria Buhav answers the he says that if you poured in without any intent, you just poured without thinking, so all of that oil is dedicated to the mitzvah, and it's also to use for any other purpose, it's hooked to the mitzvah, so. And after Hanukkah is over, if there's any left over, you're not going to be able to use it for your salad dressing, you're not going to be able to use it for your lamp anywhere else. You're going to have to burn it in a bonfire because it's Kaddish.
Could you use it the second night?
Yes, that you would be able to, that would still be Mitzvah's Chanukah.
But even though the Iker Mitzvah is one candle.
That's a good point. But once you're asking, maybe it was designated for the first candle and not for candle number two, which is only Mahajan.
Right.
I think that question applies in many areas in Hilchos Chanukah.
Or Shamash, for that matter.
And you find that in Hilchos Chanukah, that once Chazal made the second candle of the Mahadran, you're allowed a light.
It's certainly not the Shamash.
They all are in turn. What?
And certainly not the Shamash.
Not the Shamash, no, you can't use the Shamash. But all the candles, even though it's only there are other cases. For example, a similar shadow to what you're raising, what happens if you forgot to say the bracha? The 6 second night of Hanukkah. You lit the first candle. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot to say the bracha. Could you light the second bracha?
Yeah.
Could you light on the second candle? It's only a mahadra. Right? According to your logic, it's only a mahadra. It's not a real mitzvah. You shouldn't be able to make a bracha just on
mahadra.
But no, once they make the takana of mahadra, it all goes into one takana, derabanan, it all becomes a chefza, even though you could get away without it. If you're poor, you would only light one candle. You wouldn't have a second. But if you are rich and you could afford that second candle, so it all becomes subsumed into one integrated, solid shtick of mitzvahs Chanukah, and you can make a bracha even on that second candle, even though it's only in the Mahadran candle. So too, in this case, you'd be able to light the leftover oil even for the second candle. That would be. So we have a very important halakha that's coming out according to this Maria Buhav. If you pour oil in Islam, it has to be all be used for l'shem mitzvah. If you pour only a certain amount for l'shem mitzvah, then whatever is left can be used for personal, private use. Says the Beis Yosef, nice svara, but I have a better idea. I have a better answer to this stira. That which it says that you're allowed to use the light after, you're allowed to put out the fire after half hour, you're allowed to use the candlelight to count money and to read Harry Potter. You poured in more than you needed. When you pour something else, I don't care what's going through your mind, automatically, whatever is poured in, only a half hour of oil is dedicated to the mitzvah. Whatever you, what?
Sam kavana.
I'm scared to use the word sam kavana, but you might be right. But the only a half hour, when you pour something in, only a half hour is dedicated to the mitzvah. That which we say that something is dedicated to the mitzvah, you're not allowed to use it for anything else, and if it's left over, you have to burn it. That's if, for example, the light went out, the light blew out after 12 minutes, and there's 18 minutes of oil left, that 18 minutes of oil is going to be usher to use for anything else. Anything that would be further than half an hour, you'd be fine with, because I never got hooked to the mitzvah in the first place. So it ends up being that the Beis Yosef is being more makel. This second answer is being much more amazing, because what is he saying? He's saying, you don't have to have any kavanah at all. Automatically, the second you hit, you start pouring your oil, once it's more than 30 minutes of oil pouring, all the additional oil is not hooked to the mitzvah. The only thing that was ever hooked to the mitzvah is that first 30 minutes of oil, and therefore only if it blows out of the middle, there's leftover from that 30 minutes of oil, there's a 12 minute that, I'm sorry, less than 12 minutes, there's 18 minutes of oil left. That 18 minutes of oil, that's the only thing that will ever be hooked to the mitzvah. As opposed to Maria Guhav said that it depends what your das is. That if you had das, the whole thing can become hooked to the mitzvah. Let's look at the very specific writing of the Shulchan Aruch, and we will see how he passed it.
Does this apply to the wick too?
Yes, it does apply to the wick.
So there's a period of time, because you're using the whole wick for that purpose. There's no question about it. But after a certain period of time, the wick now becomes... See, oil is...
I don't know how to do it with the wick. Everything we're saying does apply to the wick, but how to apply a package for it, I can't tell you. I don't have enough experience on how much wick burns or not. Let's assume that a wick is normally consumed a certain amount in a half hour. That amount of wick is hooked to the mitzvasa. Whatever wouldn't be consumed in a half hour wouldn't be hooked to the mitzvasa. That's what we're saying.
A wick will burn indefinitely.
Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, skip to number four. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 4, there's the Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Ayin Zayin, Sif Dalet. Hanoser Vayom Hashmini Min HaShemen. Chanukah is over. Zos Chanukah is over. And now it's the day after Chanukah, the night after Chanukah. So you go to Chassidim, what do? They have big bonfires. Big Avoda. Yeah. Hanosa be Hashemim Hashemen Hatzorech L'Shir Hadlaka. Wow, you see what the Shulchan Aruch just did? Okay, also Lo Medura V'Sofer B'Fnei Atzmo Shari Hooks V'Sos. You have to burn it. You have to light the fire just by itself. But what words did he use? He could have said two things. Shulchan Aruch could have said whatever was left. He could have said Hanosa be Hashemim Hashemen.
Yisrof.
Elim Kain Hisna. He didn't say that. He limited it. He's following his pula. He's following not the Maria Bula, but he's following his Svara. Hanosmeo Shrim Hashem. Only thing that was hooked to Mitzvaso is the limited, that first half hour of oil. Hashem Hatsara Lashir Hadlaka. That's all that is hooked to Mitzvaso. And if there's anything else left over from that, then you have to burn. So Rabbosai. Nevara Gora Madura. Moshe Hanukkah, and he asked the Hasidic Shiyid, did you have any candles blow out during the first half hour? And they're going to tell you, Chas v'shulim, I'm makai by the nicest, most mehudadika, oil and wicks, and they all last at least an hour and a half, if not 2 hours. So what should you tell them? What in the world are you doing right now? The only thing that was hooked to the mitzvasa, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, was the first half hour. You tell me that every night, every candle, every one of your 40 whatever candles lit the entire duration of at least a half hour, and they blew it only afterwards. There was nothing left that's hooked to the mitzvah. There's nothing to burn. There's nothing to burn. There's nothing left that's hooked to the mitzvah. Period. That's the Shulchan Aruch. This is the halacha. however, of course, if we would go like that first opinion, Maria Buhav, he would say that if you poured in oil, and you didn't have any specific kavana, so whatever you pour in, it's all mitzvah mitzvasa. And then the Hasidim are going to say, Maria Buhad, right? Some Hasidus, Maria Buhav, he's from Tzatz,
right? Yeah.
Maria Buhav, his shul is in Tzatz. It's the Hasidim and Jump from the Shulchan Aruch, who's arguing on him, who says he's arguing. So according to Maria Buhav, whom we don't pass in like, he says it depends on what your kavana is. If your kavana was, I'm only dedicating the stuff that I'm gonna, for the first half hour, so then only the first half hour will But if you don't say anything before your oil stam, like many people do, right? You live life without thinking, and you pour your Hanukkah oil without thinking. So indeed, the question of Aryeh Zalah, the entire tub of oil, the entire little cup of oil will be dedicated to Mitzvasa, and you'd have to burn it. That's the point of Aryeh Zalah. Not according to the Shulchan Aruch. But we are very frumiyin, and therefore we always like doing things as best as we can. The Chol HaDeh, we like being brisk. We want to do things perfectly to be Yotzei Chol HaDeh. So with that in mind, look at the Mishnah Berurah, source number 6. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I cut out a little bit, Simen Tav Reish Ayin Beis, if Zayin is actually on a different Simen entirely. L'chatchila Tov L'hasnos, it's ideal. And that's what I'm telling you, this is the Allah that applies, a Chanukah Allah that applies, Erev Chanukah. L'chatchila, it's good to make a T'nai, She'enu Machzeh Hashemen, Elo L'shihad Lata. Mishum D'yesh Min HaPoskim, A.K.A. also known as Maria Buhav, she served the nasim b'stam hitzel mitzvasa hakol. According to Maria Buhav, if you pour your oil in stam, the whole thing becomes dedicated to mitzvah, and whatever will be left of all the oil, you'll have to burn, let's say, yantif if it wasn't consumed. And therefore, even Maria Buhav though held that if you would be masa, you'd make a t'nai. I'm here by making a t'nai that the only thing that is dedicated to mitzvah is the first half hour. But anything that's more than that is not l'shem mitzvah. So if you do that, then you'll eliminate, you'll protect yourself that only the lubikin, the first half hour, will be dedicated to mitzvah. All the additional stuff will not be hooked to mitzvah. So. And all the leftover oil and licks that you have after yantif will not be dedicated to mitzvah, will not be hooked to mitzvah. So. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests to avoid any problems. And if you do this, you're really not going to have to, unless something, you know, got blown out in the middle of your half hour, but you, if you do this, you're never going to have a mendurah on Motzei Hanukkah. So the pyromaniacs among us will not be machmir for this Mishnah Berurah. And those who want to avoid it, don't like making fires, they're more safety conscious, you're going to go like this Mishnah Berurah and make it tonight. So Halacha Maisa, we will tell you on Sunday afternoon, when you pour your oil and make it tonight, you can do it with your mind, but it's might as well do it with your mouth because it will make sure that you really did it. I'm here by whatever oil that I pour, whatever wicks that I use, whatever candles that I use, the only thing that is going to be dedicated to mitzvah is what's necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of the first half hour. Anything more than that is not dedicated to Shem mitzvah.
If you use an electric menorah, then your electricity is hutzul mitzvah, so you can't use your house electricity, the rest of your...
Great question. I guess the answer would be that only the... You say, according to Maria Buhav, according to the Shulchan Aruch, only that which is ultimately used is dedicated according to Maria Buhav, but I guess it's only the electricity that's coming into your menorah is what we would be concerned with.
Well, then you could... If it's only the electricity that comes to your menorah, you can't be Yotze, because you don't have a half hour's worth.
You're raising
you have to
we're going to talk about that
that's
in the next
the old
discussion.
So I
understand what you're saying. That's
you're going with
the
that premise.
Discussion. That's going to be the next discussion that we're actually going to talk about in just a moment. But so I want to add one point. Halacha l'maaseh Rav Osai, let's say you do have leftover oil and you didn't make it tonight and you want to be Yossi Maria Buhav, who held that everything that you pour, like if you didn't make it tonight, everything that you pour, even more than a half hour of oil, it's almost a mitzvah, so you want to get rid of it after yantif. So there's no real halakha that has to completely be lit on the fire. I guess the Hasidim might say there is, but according to bottom line halakha, it is not required to burn it. You could just, for the same, pour it down the sink. You could put the container, wrap it up, put it in the garbage. I know it's a little bit anticlimactic.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
It's a little anticlimactic to just pour it down the sink. But the iser, the reason why you burn it is for one reason only. You burn it because, why do you burn the leftover oil?
No one should
exactly, because it's so it's you're not going to use it for anything else. So do whatever you need to do to make sure that it doesn't get used. That's what, again, maybe it could be at the Kabbalah there, in Yanim and lighting on fire, and that's about my pay scale. I have it written here, it's a kasha. It is the chatil to burn. It's brought down the most shemen and shemen and menorah, the base of mikdash. Whatever we left, it would burn, so there is a reason to burn it, the chatil. But make a hadim, if you don't want to light a fire after yantif, if you can, just pour it down the sink, make a hadim, so that nobody will derive benefit from it. Somebody raised a question. Okay, let's go to the next one. Next point is a beautiful shtickle from Rav Shlomo Zalman. It talks about soldiers in the Israeli army who are in a tank. So where do they lie? Do they have to lie? And I think the Shaila and the way he deals with the Shaila is beautiful the way he deals with it. So first of all, you see what I wrote in English. If soldiers would be in a field, they have their sleeping bags and they have their gear on them. Maybe they don't even have a sleeping bag. Maybe they have shmirah. And, you know, I remember once hearing from some chaylim. You know how they do shmirah? They lie down on whatever area they're protecting. They're lying down on the floor looking out. And they interlock, let's say, each facing a different, one facing 12 o'clock, one face 2 o'clock, one face 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you know, let's say six people. And they interlock their feet. And apparently, either they take turns sleeping or they can wake each other up by like tugging their feet. Their feet are all interlocked, so they could bang each other, wake each other up when they're in the field. If it's, you know, in the middle of the night and they're lying on the floor with, you know, looking through with binoculars, you could fall asleep easily. Okay, so if you're in the field without a tent, without a tank, without a builder, without a ditch, where they might be sleeping, so there's no house. We know that Erchag is mitzvah ish. So if you don't have a bias, you don't got no mitzvah, right? That's what Rashi says. Rashi says in the Gemara, when it talks about Birchas HaRoeh, Rashi says, when is there Birchas HaRoeh? If you are a balabas who has a house and is doing a hadlach, or is being yotze with a hadlach, so of course you're going to make lahadlach ner shel Hanukkah and shas nisim. But this Birchas HaRoeh, this shas nisim, if you only see candles, how could you have somebody who only sees it? Rashi says, could go on a holy bisfina.
Sim.
And I think Rashi also might add Umisha in Labayas. So he clearly said, if you don't have a bias, if you're homeless and you have a bench, a park bench, even though that's what you call home, but that's not called a home, that in your wish you can light a candle. So too, if soldiers were in the field, they can't light a candle. However, let's look at this Halichas Shlomo from Shlomo Zalman quotes the Sefer Kuntzes Halacha L'Chayalim, which was reviewed by Shlomo Zalman. Look what he said on Tachla. Kosvel inyan tank. Hashem mikvias betankim. Those who are based in their tanks. Ve'enam nimsaim b'mivnim ova olim koshim v'nana in any structures, buildings, or tents. Vayavim lahadlik betank b'vracha. Passing through Shlomo Zalman, their tank is their home. Right? If you have people on the, in Syria, or in the Golan, or in Gaza, on the border, they're in their tanks. They're in their tanks, 24 hours, for they can be there for a week before they go back to a base, before they go back somewhere else. Says Rosh Hashanah, that is their house. That is a house. That does have a din of a base, though. Kizui dirasam. Even if they don't eat inside the tank, right, you want to get crumbs into your to the sophisticated machinery. Even though they eat in the field, it's not going to change that lot. That's where they sleep, that's where they spend their primary time, and that's their home. Now this is very Kishma.
You know, don't you? You live in a house, so you light next to your next to the door. Nowadays we write in our windows, but tanks don't got no windows. If you're wondering why, you don't have to wonder so long.
Why do you call it house? I'm saying you don't put a mezuzah on a tank, do you?
That's a great question. Maybe it's not you don't put a mezuzah on a sukkah either. So maybe it's not a dios keva. It's a very good question. You don't put a sukkah on a dios keva. What happens if you have a mobile home that you live in? A mobile home that you live in, or that you live in for a month. Your mobile home for the whole summer. You can drive cross country for 2 months. So then you would have to put a mezuzah on your mobile home, I believe. Right. So I guess here it's a diras arai. Even if it's a dir, it's a diras arai. So it has a din of a bias legabe being chayev to consider the bias. A tent would also be sufficient. It's clearly you don't have to put a mezuzah. It's also diras arai, so it's not a chayev mezuzah. But it would still qualify enough as a home to have a menorah. That's a good ha'ara. So look what he says in little note Gimel in the fourth line. Kishemadlik b'tank, im yesh efsharis lahadlik b'tefach hasamach l'chnisa
Yadlikos Shana. Right, there are no windows, so you're not lighting in any windows. But let's say every tank has a, what is it called, that door, that hatch? What? The hatch. If you could, how do you say it in Hebrew?
Tzariach.
Tzariach. If you could light in the tefach hasamach to the hatch, or the tzariach, you should. That's Medina de Gemara. Vimlav, you like what he says. Yadliko besoch hatank.
Well, I think
that I'm sure that that's against code.
I think it has two edges.
Yeah, they smoke in there.
They smoke it. They do smoke it. Okay, if they smoke it, they're fine. But he says, "V'lo ha'tank mi'bachot." Just sitting it on a tank. I'm sure if you look around, if you Google hard enough, you'll find pictures of a tank with a menorah sitting somewhere on the tank. You're going to call up that Google, whoever put out that Google image, and you'll send them a note. You say, "State in halichas Shlomo that Shlomo Zalman says you can't just sit a menorah on a tank. You have to put it on Pesach ha Pesach. Pesach mibachutz." Fascinating. Okay, and it has to be nikkud. That's in their mitzvah. And therefore, it's not enough just to turn on one of the lights in the tank, the shemitzah, because it's not nikkur. Oh, look what he says. And this svara that we were about to see is a source for a very important sheet of Shlomo Zalman that you were mechavin to just a moment ago with your discussion about a menorah made with electricity. B'shas hadchak, third to last line, I highlighted it, panas kis, a pocket flashlight. What is Shlomo Zalman saying? Shlomo Zalman is saying that Mikra Hadin, one can make a bracha on a flashlight. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why he says a flashlight, not something that's plugged in, is because the poskim talk about the nature of the, again, it's obviously shasat chak. We're not saying that you should, you know, flick on 8 flashlights.
No, let's see, have an iPhone.
So, iPhones might not be good. Well, he's probably talking about an incandescent. And you'll see why. What is the tzura of a hadlaka? What is a flame? A flame is three things. It's a fire on top of coming from a wick, emanating from a source of fuel. So if you have a battery, then you have a source of fuel, a contained source of fuel, and you have your filament, which is your psila, and you have the light, or the heat and light energy that's coming from the filament of an incandescent bulb, and you have all the three ingredients of vas haste and air. Masha'enkin, if you have an electric outlet that you plugged into the wall, so what are you missing? You have an incandescent bulb, so you have a filament. That's psila. You have the electric, or the light or the heat energy coming out of the filament. That's the eish. What are you missing? You're missing the fuel. The fuel is just coming from the wall and shooting in. It's not dumya to the ner in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not dumya to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not dumi to the Takanas Chazal of a Nair where there has to be a source of fuel contained in a clear receptacle. It's all together. Therefore, the poskim say that even if you can use a flashlight, you cannot use a plug-in menorah. So I have this Shaila this week. My father's in the hospital, and he'll probably be there for a bit of Hanukkah. And I saw already on the desk in the nurse's station, they already have a menorah there. And it's fascinating because I noticed as I passed by, there's a sheet next to the menorah telling them how to turn it on. Because you have to, you know, you can mess it up. They could turn on all 8 lights the first night. They could turn on the wrong, you know, the left side, the right side. You know, they don't know which side to do it on. So there's actually an instruction sheet in the hospital how to light the Chanukah lit. So I should probably tell my father that he should make his way to the nurse's desk.
Bring your father a flashlight.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Let my father sit beside the right. Like, what's her name? Lady Liberty. Not if the Liberty Statue of Liberty holds her light beside the. I hold my light beside the something door. Help me. Give me your masses. Give me your huddling to be free. Give me.
This is a Talmud question.
All right, come on. Nobody is nobody your culture? Okay, so theoretically, yeah, you should be holding 8 flashlights on the 8th light, but okay, even if you don't do the Mahajan, you can at least do. But yes, so I think you're right. Yeah. Dr. Maron, I think I agree with you. I think halacha l'maisa mamish, that's paskin right now, I think l'chatchila would be that somebody in the hospital should turn on a flashlight.
Oh.
And,
yeah,
what? So I think it's turn on the flashlight. Yeah, I think that would be better based on what we're saying, based on the Shlomo Zalman. According to Shlomo Zalman, you could light, it's certainly Shasat Chav. You can mamish light with a bracha according to Shlomo Zalman. I don't know if I would say to somebody to rely on this from Shlomo Zalman. I think I'd rather do it without a bracha because of Baruch Lahakla. I think most Pesukim don't accept this. But as long as it's, again, we're going to have to make sure it's an incandescent bulb that has a filament, not an LED or not a fluorescent, but it has a filament. And the filament has, there's a din psila, and you have the fuel, and you have the light coming out, has a din esh. That, I think, would be certainly mshasat chak, mutter, and the appropriate thing. Fine.
You can't burn the battery here, right?
Right, don't put the battery in a fire after Yantif, it'll explode. Okay, let's finish with one other Ha'ara. Just putting some things together, not Chidushim, but just a little bit of a very geschmack calculation. When are you supposed to light? A lot of people are... Yeah.
Flashlight on Friday night would be a problem.
Flashlight for Shabbos? So this we talked about in our Shiurim on Hilchas Hadlakas Neros. We talked about using lights. So that would be a machlokas in Lamdis. Listen to the Geshmak of Lamdis. What is the mitzvah of Friday night candles? Is the mitzvah to have light for Shabbos? That's what Shimon Bais says, right? To have light at your Shabbos table? Or is the mitzvah to do a Maisa Hadlaka? If it's a mitzvah to have light, I don't care how you get the light, fluorescent bulbs, LED bulbs, Masha'inkin, if you need a Maisa Hadlaka, you need what Chazal sees, is a Maisa Hadlaka with a fire and an ash. And the nafkamina between those two ways to look at it would be, what about fluorescent? What about LED? If you need a Maisa Hadlaka, maybe you need Dafka, incandescent bulbs, with have a filament and have a dinesh, as we just described. Mashenkin, if all you need is light for your Seudos, which is somehow some Rishonim say it, then you could use fluorescent bulbs. So this would actually boil down to Machlokas, 2 days in Tosis.
What I'm saying is, if you use the flashlight for the Hanukkah Lech,
yeah,
at the end of the half hour, well, 35 minutes, whatever, you can shut off the flashlight.
Right.
Friday night,
you'd have to continue
burning until the battery dies out.
That is correct. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's right.
And I followed it all.
So that you're saying that we have to have an extra battery for Saturday night. That's right.
All right.
That's right. Thank you. That's good we've spoken this out. Who would have thought about this? Yoshka. Okay. Now I just want to finish off with another totally unrelated. I thought that was a geshmaka, a shayla of a tank. Shlomo Zalman, I have a very important halacha l'maisa application. Let's finish off with the Zman Hadlaka. So, this is one of the most confusing areas of Halacha, and the reason for that, in Hilchas Chanukah, the reason for that is because Zmanim in general are one of the most confusing areas of Halacha, because there's so many shitas and so many complications, and what people assume is obvious is not obvious. And the first thing that anyone would tell you is, you know, you have to daven mincha by Shkia, you can't do Malacha after Shkia on Shabbos, but if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, it says you can. Shulchan Aruch says you could be Mechal Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch says. I mean, he holds that Shabbos doesn't start till, you know, that which we assume, like the Gaonim, that Shabbos starts at Shkia, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass like the Gaonim. So, Zmanim is very complex. Let's, to make the issue with Hilchas Hadlakas Neros even more acute, let's look at the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah, it's really Hilchas Chanukah. Hilchas Megillah Chanukah, Perek Aleph and Beis is Hilchas Megillah. And Perek Gimel Adalid is Hilchas Chanukah. The Rambam puts them together in one sefer. Perek Tal Halacha Hay says the Rambam the following regarding the Zman. Eimad Likaneros Chanukah, Kol Dem Shiteshka Achama. There are those who argue, but we're going to go with what the Rambam says. You're allowed, the Zman starts at Shkia. El Im Shkiasa. When does it start? No, it doesn't start at Shkia and then continue whenever you want. But it's at Shkia. The mitzvah is to light at Shkia. The moment the ball of fire goes below the horizon, the moment the sun goes below the horizon, 4:27 today, that's the moment that you're supposed to light. Lo ma'acharin, v'lo ma'aktinin. Not 4:28, not 4:26. You're supposed to get it at 4:27. This is Shita Saramba.
How do you do that?
Very simple. Shkia is one of the easiest things to...
Yeah.
You look out your window, and you see, do I see the ball of fire? It's not Shkia yet. Do I see the bowl of sun? No, it's not Shkia. Oh, the bowl just disappeared? It's Shkia, I'm lighting my candle. Easiest thing to see. Everything else is hard. Shkia and Nates are the easiest to find. Yeah, of course, if there's nothing blocked, right. In the olden days it was easier. Nowadays we have buildings and we have all kinds of, you know, structures that block our view. Mountains could be a problem, you're right. Shachach Ohezit, if for whatever reason, Lohid Likim Shkia Sachama, If for whatever reason you didn't light at 4:27, it's already 4:28 now, 4:29, 4:30, did you miss it? Don't worry. Madnik v'hodlich, ad shetich l'regim v'hashuk, which is how long? If you didn't light at 4:27 when you were supposed to, don't worry. B'diavad, you could go till 4:57. But after 4:57, ain't no madlik.
Wow.
Ain't no madlik. You missed it. You lost it for the night.
But then he said, which means that it would be done subjectively rather than objectively.
You're right, except for the fact that he doesn't say that. Because what does he say? He could have said, and stopped. Who stops there? The Gemara stops there. The Gemara does not say a word after Tichur Agam HaShuk. Except the Gemara says, what's Tichur Agam HaShuk? Riglet the Talmudai, the Talmudian wood sellers. Right. The Gemara doesn't say the words Chatzi Shah. Who has the words Chatzi Shah? The Rambam, the Rif. Gemara doesn't. So Dr. Marin, Rabbi Dr. Marin, if I would have to say, Bimadaik in the Shah, I would be Bimadaik not like you. For the fact that he says, Tichur Agam HaShuk, Shehu Chatzi Shah, it sounds like he doesn't say whenever Tichur Agam HaShuk will finish. It sounds like he's makpid that Dav Zayin, it has to be within the Chatzi Shah. That's how I would read this Rambam Dr. Marin. You hear?
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, especially because the Rambam changed the Gemara and added this phrase of Chatzi Shah onto the Gemara. And didn't leave it just as Tichur Agam HaShuk.
He used the word Kemo.
That just means that maybe he'll give you 31 or 32 or 33 or 34 minutes. That's what I think it means. Doesn't really mean 30 minutes, it means around 30 minutes. So if it's 4:27, you can light till 4:57, I'll give you till 5.
You were talking the other night, but you were talking about an hour.
I don't want to get into that. Yeah, I don't want to get into that. Yeah, I don't want to get into that. Thank you. After that, says the Rambam, you missed it. So Rabosai. If you are going to be lighting at Seis HaKochavim, let's say you hold 42 minutes after Shkia, guess what? According to the Rambam, not only did you miss the Zman, you missed Hadlakas Neres Chanukah that night entirely, and it's a Brach Levatala. The only thing I'm not sure about is what the Rambam, Shitas HaRambam is, what does he call Shkia, Shetishka Chama? Does he mean...
Which Shkia?
There are two Shkias, which I'm not going to get into, Shkia that we call Sunset, and there's another Shkia, which is about 15 minutes before Tzeis HaKochav, and this is where Zmanim gets complicated. But this is just, I just wanted to show you the Rambam, because that just shows you how acute it is to figure out the right Zman, because if you don't get the right Zman, at least according to the Rambam, others disagree. But according to the Rambam, you miss the mitzvah entirely. Let us jump, just to finish off, you could look through the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, I just want to show you a very geshmaka, two points, halach l'maisa mamash. Says Rav Moshe, again, if you know what time that your family, going back generations, lit, follow what your family does. If you don't, let me share with you the Igros Moshe. What's the best time to light Hanukkah candles? Zman hadlakas ner Hanukkah sheyotzer adif. The best time to light Hanukkah candles, hulanias daiti, asara minutin. 10 minutin. 10 minutes, achat tchilas hashkia. Today, shkia is 4:27. The best time is at 4:37. He has lots of reasons, but he doesn't share them with us in this tshuva. It's a very short, the whole tshuva, and this is actually the last part of a long tshuva, talking about other things. But he says, even though you're going to light 10 minutes after Shkia, you still, since he knows, the Moshe knows that there are some shittas that say that you should, light at Seis, so what's the Tichel Regem Nashuk? Could it be half an hour after? Well, according to, either half an hour after the Zman, whenever the Zman started. So since he knows that there are some shittas that hold the right time to light is at Seis, so he's going to be machmir that you should light 10 minutes after Shkia, but put not just half an hour of oil in, put 55 minutes of oil in, so that will take you half an hour after Seis. V'yitin shem sh'yiyeh k'day l'hadlik shah be'erech, around an hour worth of oil, kisiyah hadlakas v'bekan erech chatzi shah achat Seis HaKochavim, right? If let's say it's 40 minutes or so between Shkia and Seis, you're lighting 10 minutes after Shkia, so you have a half an hour to get to Seis, then you want it to light a half an hour after Seis, in case that's the right time. So it says put an hour of oil in, that will cover you lechatchila to you lit now, and it's going after Seis as well. Now just look at the beautiful Rav Nissen Karelitz, we'll finish with this, in his Sefer Chut Hashani. He says, he gives you the cheshbonos, why the Chazon Ish lit Chanukah lit at 18 minutes after Shkia, not because 18 is chai. Maybe you should give $18 to tzedakah, but that's not the reason to light 18 minutes after Shkia.
That's 6, isn't it?
Let's see what he says. He's gonna give the whole cheshbon. Cheshbon is that. Exactly like you said, perhaps in Eretz Yisrael, 18 minutes, at least according to one opinion, that is seis. So the opinion that says you should light at seis, 18 minutes at seis. Okay. Tchilas hashkia l'deya shniya, according to different deya, about 18 minutes is the beginning of shkia. Third svara. V'tochatz yishol haschal hashkia rishon. You're still fulfilling the Rambam, who said that you have to get it within the first half hour of the first shkia. That's one, two, three reasons. Four, va'afla sovrim tseis ha-kochavim mamish. Even those who hold that it's mamish, tseis ha-kochavim. Ayin beir halacha, shereviya sham muta lahaktim. There's a beir halacha writes that even if you hold that zman is tseis, but you're allowed to light 15 minutes before that. So by doing it at 18 minutes, that is going to get 15 minutes before tseis in Eretz Yisrael.
13
minutes. 30, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, it's shorter. Yes. Even if you follow the Gra in other areas, I don't remember what the Shitas HaGra is in this sugya is. He says here, you should do like I'm saying, to be able to all the Shitas. So that's just four different svaras, how the Chazon Ish picked out the number 18 from a hat. So I usually tell people, I think Rav Aaron Carla had a different cheshbon where he thought 25 minutes after Shkia, you fulfill like every sheet, you could fulfill every sheet, like, seven shitas of the various shitas of when to light. If you do 25 minutes after, then you cover it. So I usually tell people, Rav Moshe said 10 minutes, the Chazon Ish says 18 minutes after Shkia, Rav Aaron Carla says 25 minutes after Shkia. Look, if you hold Seis HaKochavim, it's light at Seis. But otherwise, I usually tell people between 10 and 25 minutes after Shkia is the best time to light. But just to finish off with the very geshmaka, you know, why in the world? Maran HaChazon Ish hayu mechab haneros achar chatzi shah. The Chazon Ish would light his candles 18 minutes after Shkia, and he'd extinguish them half an hour later. Why in the world would he do that? I have no idea.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.